206-339-1140.
You have our guy Nate Littlefield trying to channel summer, and I appreciate that. I was actually just listening to my guy. He kind of fell off a little bit. Kid Ink, he had a mixtape back in the day, Summer in the Winter. And it's got some bang. It was during the DJ Mustard time frame.
Yeah, for sure.
Where every beat sounded similar, but they all hit.
Yeah.
And I was going. Summer in the Winter. There you go. Nate on the same page. Emil Fragoso joins us.
Hi, guys.
Sacktown Sports 49ers Insider. Before we get to Emil, we are men of our word on this show. And we are going to get to Roe, who has been hanging on and wants to be a part of the Brock Purdy conversation, which is going to lead into our conversation with Emil as well on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. What's up, Ro? What you got for us?
Hey, top of the morning, fellas. First of all, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, man. And I wanted to get into the fact that earlier you guys mentioned if we're playing away, we lose this game. Mm-hmm. But you guys failed to realize we went into Lambeau Field as a sixth seed in a similar game. Remember, we were the dangerous team did nobody run up on. Mm-hmm. And Green Bay was actually that team. And then we came out with true grit and won that game when we needed to, man. I'm a diehard Niner fan, and I'll take your answers off the line, man. I appreciate you guys' show.
No, thanks for the call, Ro. Keep calling. That was great stuff. Yeah, I just, you know, the way things were going, it's hard to do. It's not even really a fair comparison, but just the way things were going, it just felt like if that game was in Lambeau. Well, first of all, if it was in Lambeau, you might have to worry about a lot more than
just
some rain.
I'm looking at the weather. 31 degrees but today.
That's
not even that cold for Lambeau, actually. Right?
I don't want to get into like the semantics of it. It just felt like that was a game where towards the end, the momentum started to shift for the Niners, and it was just enough to get it done.
Right.
And I don't know if they get it done if they're on the road, and we'll never know. But thanks for the call, Ro. And that's a great poll because the Niners, they weren't supposed to win that game when they were. And they did that with Jimmy G.
They sure did.
They did that with Jimmy G.
Without scoring an offensive touchdown.
So the Niners have always found a way to get it done. All right, Emil. You can drive the bus today, okay?
I'm the captain now.
Because you are the captain now. Because you came in and you said this took levels off my life, Alan. My blood pressure is looking like yours. I'm gonna need to figure some things out. What worried you about the game? Your Brock Purdy takes. We might even do two segments because this is our show. Dang it! And we make the rules. Just give me your first initial thoughts. The game ends. The clock hits zero. What's going through Emil Fragoso's mind?
The same thing that was going through Kyle Shanahan and pretty much the entire sidelines. Relief.
Yeah.
Like relief that they got out of this game alive, because through pretty much the first half and then even into the second half, most of us sitting next to me in the media row were like, they're not winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to write the hit pieces. We're getting ready to ask the tough questions. We can feel it coming. This had every flashback of the Ravens game. This had flashback of the Browns game. Mm-hmm. This had flashback of even the Eagles in that first quarter. It just was, man, these guys don't have it today. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. There was a problem because this Packers team was red hot coming into it. And as great as this Niners team has been the whole season, the one thing I've always said, and I said it on Friday with Whitey and Drapes, they cannot shoot themselves in the foot. And yet, over and over again, sloppy football, penalties, not having good special teams, every single check mark to where the Niners fail kept hitting.
I'm going to push back on you a little bit. I feel like they didn't really shoot themselves in the foot. I feel like they tried.
They really tried to.
Right? I mean, I feel like the fact that they were never down two scores was an indictment on the Packers.
But yet it felt like they were down 31-17.
Yes.
It felt like that because they couldn't do anything offensively for a good stretch of that game.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy couldn't complete 5-yard passes.
Yeah.
When do you see that happen?
Well, it's the first time it's in the rain, right?
I mean, I don't know what it is with the rain and the glove, and I know I saw your tweet when the game first started about, oh, I don't like quarterback and glove. Neither do I.
I don't.
I don't like a quarterback and glove, and then there's the video going around him wiping his hand on the pants and in between and drop back, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's one of those days. So for them to just get out of this game is a true testament to their grit and their character in this locker room, because the Niners team even 2 months ago probably doesn't get out of this game alive.
Right.
So to overcome this game really says all to their character, their determination to really make it. And I think because of this, they go on to the Super Bowl.
that's really interesting thing about the glove too, because it's like one of those things where it's functionality versus like how much it affects your mental. Yeah. Like I'm sure you guys have, you know, played pickup basketball and you get a shooting sleeve on, and then the second you miss your first two shots,
it's coming off.
The first thing that you do is taking that thing off. Ain't working and so today. It's just so interesting how you could definitely say in the rain, like it makes sense to put a glove on, especially if you have smaller hands. We saw Brock struggle with grip issues in earlier in the season in Cleveland, but then to ditch it completely, I mean, it was just a fascinating development as it happens. My biggest question that I had as I was watching that game, there were so many crazy moments. All I can think about was, how is Nate reacting right now in the booth? What, if you had to give Nate a grade for how well he composed himself or didn't compose himself in the press box, what are we giving Nate?
Well, Nate actually...
And I also want to hear Nate give himself a grade as well.
Yeah. Go ahead. Do you want a grade or do you want like what actually happened?
Give me like what they would do on a report card. Give me a grade and then like give me two liners.
Nate was like a B, I would say, composing
That's
himself.
Solid.
Because
That's solid.
Nate understood what was happening and he actually took himself out of the situation. I didn't see
He understood the assignment, which is great.
I didn't see Nate from like midway through the third quarter until halfway through the fourth quarter. He like disappeared.
Barely. I would check in.
I love
in.
That for you.
Nate. I would check. Dude, I had to excommunicate myself from Media Row. Like, I seriously, I'm watching. The way I watched the game was horrible.
Yeah.
It was sitting back behind everyone. First of all, Niners do such a good job feeding you and everything, like all the snacks. That stuff's great.
What'd I tell you?
I step back from everyone. I'm watching through a window that has like a checkered dot pattern. So there's like a texture. And then I'm watching the big board. I'm not even watching the field because I can't be over there. I'm like sick to my stomach.
I can't make noise
or anything.
Yeah, right.
I texted my parents. I said, this is not an ideal way to watch this. Or something like that.
But
I don't know.
Nate's thoughts and reactions to the game were how everyone else in the media row was happening. Anything happened. There were binoculars being slammed. That people were groaning. Like, it was just a...
People cheered at the Dre Greenlaw pick. People went crazy, which I couldn't believe.
Niners PR was going crazy. Yeah. Which you're not supposed to do in media areas. It's a quiet space. You're not supposed to cheer. They went bananas
when
Dre got that pick.
Yeah. And you have, you know, they get out of it, and Dre Greenlaw made the plays, two plays. He might be able to be a tight end in another life.
Or a running back or wide receiver.
Or something like that. Meanwhile, the Packers...
Just get down.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Packers couldn't take advantage of some of the opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think that is what is concerning. And I hear your take on the fact that, hey, they got out of it. It's going to make them better. In our next segment, we'll discuss the Lions and the initial challenges that they'll bring. But it has to be a little bit concerning. And I'm wondering now if that Niners defense, they can give up rushing yards, right? Here's the thing about the Niners, okay, and the rushing yards. There have been many situations where the Niners, they get into front-running mode and they turn into that well-oiled machine and the other team can't run.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not going to say the Niners running defense is fraudulent, but is it possible it might look better than it actually is due to the situations that they've been in throughout the course of the season?
It's been leaky all year, and that's because Eric Armstead, especially the last 6 weeks, has been out. Mm-hmm. That's their best run defender, and he came back in his first game and really didn't have the impact you would want him to. So that's a big issue with Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead in the middle, is you have to contain that and get to the backfield. Mm-hmm. They had zero sacks.
Yeah.
Zero.
Did Chase Young play?
I don't know.
I saw him raise his hands.
I saw him celebrate. I know he was there.
I'm tired of getting all the pressures. Get home, guys. Get the sacks. You're Chase Young and Nick Bosa, the Buckeye bookends, and they're going to look at this game and go, man, did we get lucky because we didn't get back there at all.
Yeah, and I feel like Jared Goff is a guy. You ever see a quarterback that just looks like they get sacked a lot? Jared Goff, you just got a face like, I'm going
to
get sacked.
Joe Flacco and Eli Manning.
Yeah, right. You know, Baker May, I'm going to get sacked a lot. That's just what I do.
That's why they call him Cinderblock Goff.
Gotta get to a break when we get back. And I felt like he ran a little bit in his Rams days, too. Gotta get to a break when we get back. We are looking forward. Still talking Purdy, but looking forward to the Lions and the challenges that they present for your San Francisco 49ers. Styles and Watkins with Emil Fragoso.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
Emil Fragoso joins us for a bonus segment. That's what happens when the Niners take care of business.
What do, baby?
You're on Stiles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. All right, we found a way to avoid it for the most part, but let's get into it now. Brock Purdy. Let me just read this for you, actually. Let me just read this for you just real quick here, Emil.
Real quick.
And I know you saw this already, but yes. I'm going to read it for you anyway. Was this your feeling after the game ended? Uh-oh. Brock Purdy answered every single doubt and criticism by delivering a comeback playoff drive that has immediately become a 49ers legend. Mm. That's what Joe Montana used to do. Is that how you felt? That was David Lombardi.
Yeah, I knew that was David Lombardi. I can tell from the
As soon as I said Brock Purdy, you knew it was David Lombardi.
As soon as you said answered all doubts, I was like, that's David Lombardi.
What was your thought? Is that what you thought?
No. No.
No.
He was horrible for you know what? How about this? Joe Montana able to throw in the rain. Joe Montana could throw in the rain.
I saw people with passer ratings of Joe Montana and Steve Young in the rain, and they were comparable.
Yeah. Well, Steven admitted it was tough to throw in the rain, but also a smaller quarterback, similar to Brock Purdy. Joe was a little bit taller, a little bit bigger, so maybe bigger hand size, that whole thing. No. Brock Purdy did not answer all questions. He did not. And actually, Nate, we were doing the post-game live, and Nate got upset because I gave Brock Purdy a 3 out of 10 for that performance.
A 3?
And he got a 3 because of the game-winning drive. He was not good.
I thought it was crazy.
He wasn't good. It was one of his worst performances.
No one's going to remember that part, though. Everyone's going to remember the game winning.
Yeah, if you were a D, and Chris and I, we love school. Comparisons. If you were a D, but you get if you had D for homeworks and quizzes, but you get an A on the final, that's about a C. So I would give Brock like a 6.5 or a 7.
So maybe I'm a little too harsh. I'll give him a 5. How about that? Is that better?
5 sounds right.
That sounds realistic.
5 sounds critical, but. More realistic.
I was a little too emotional after the game because I felt like I had lost 5 years off my life watching that thing. I'm just sitting there in the press box, my hands on my face, like, oh God, what's happening now? But look, Brock Purdy is a very talented and a very good quarterback. But the concerns in the weather with the rain, that's an issue now. It's no longer just a one-offer. It's a trend. Right.
But this goes to our conversation about having to get it done now. We got meteorologists on line one. It's not going to rain next week.
It's not.
So, no. All right.
And for them to overcome this and for Brock to turn from Cinderella to a pumpkin and then back into Cinderella within a 2-hour span, I think this says a lot about not only his character as a young quarterback, but the character of this team like you talked about.
Can you confirm something for me? Because you were there.
Yeah.
It looked like on the Packers, maybe not their final drive, but the drive before where they had the missed field goal. I think that's correct.
Yes.
It looked like it was raining.
It was.
And on Brock's, you were there.
I was.
On Brock's last drive, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't it stop?
It went to like a light drizzle.
It was barely. I'm just saying Brock did what he did. When it stopped raining.
I get what you're saying, and that's why Brock took the glove off, because it was raining when the game started, and then it stopped, and he was like, oh, well, I guess I'm okay now, and then it was that back and forth. He got in his head.
Right.
He got in his head with the glove thing.
Yeah.
And again, the Niners overthink themselves all the time. They have the most talent on the roster than any other team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But yet, they have these moments where it's like, can you guys just play Niner football?
Yeah.
Can you guys just play complimentary football? Why is Brock Purdy throwing 5 passes in a row to start this game?
I don't know.
Why is McCaffrey not running it down your throat? Why is Elijah Mitchell not getting a touch? Why aren't you interchanging
not
people
a one.
In them? Not one.
Not one.
Not one.
And
not a
look,
one.
When McCaffrey has 20 or more carries in a game, the Niners are 5-0 this season. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. McCaffrey is the best running back in the NFL, one of the best playmakers in the NFL. He showed it on that long touchdown.
Didn't he have 18 in this game?
He had 17.
17 carries. In the rain, with a QB that was uncomfortable.
And he was going off.
But the Niners only had 3 possessions in the first half, and that was indicative of the whole thing. It's that the Packers were just out. Matt LaFleur was out Kyle Shanahan-ing.
But
Kyle
they were
Shanahan.
Running the football. They were controlling the clock, running the football.
Exactly. They were playing complimentary Niner football, the Packers were. It was excellent game playing by them, and then they went away from the run. They let Jordan Love take advantage and stuff, and maybe that was the problem. And then, of course, it comes down to Packers special teams, because that's been a tried-and-true testament for this rivalry in playoff games over the years.
Yeah. Well, they got it done.
Yeah.
They got it done.
I mean, I guess maybe if you can do one more segment, we can talk about the Lions game. But
whatever you want.
What were your thoughts on Jordan Love's performance? I mean, he obviously had a really big divisional round against the Cowboys. Just what kind of do you think about his performance on Sunday?
On
Saturday.
My days are super off right now. Jordan Love.
Just the Packer team in general. Being the youngest team in the NFL.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. They have a really bright future. And that's what I was texting my Packer friend, actually, because he was really bummed out. And I was like, you guys have a really bright future. You are the fourth youngest team in NFL playoffs in NFL history. Mm. And you have an incredibly bright future because you are playing with house money going against one of the best teams, one of the most battle-tested NFL teams, and going toe-to-toe with them. And not only that, controlling the game. So hats off to the Packers. Jordan Love in Pacific really has a lot of Aaron Rodgers in him. You can see the influence.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, on that last drive, went full Brett Favre.
Yes.
So
I would say he went full Aaron Rodgers.
NFC North hater, that's right there.
Right.
Saying one Super Bowl.
Lean more towards Aaron Rodgers than Brett Favre on last drives. But besides that, he's a young quarterback, a young kid, going to get the extension. And I like what I'm seeing out of them, especially if they can get that run game going again.
Yeah. And, you know, just looking at what Jordan Love was able to do, and yeah, he's in line now. That's how you time it out. Yep. Hey, it's just like the you know, you go out, you're trying to get a scholarship or something. All right, that's enough. Jordan Love, one good season, right in line with an extension, about to change his life. That's all. We don't know if Jordan Love's going to turn back into a pumpkin. We don't know, but I will say this was probably the first time I am very much off the camp of sitting your quarterback. And if Patrick Mahomes didn't sit behind Alex Smith, would he have still been Patrick Mahomes? But in this situation, when you see him emulate Aaron Rodgers, this might be one of the first times I could say, okay, I don't know what he looked like in Nevada, but what he's doing here now, it looks like it helped. It looks like it helped.
He has grown so much since Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
He has grown so much.
Utah. Sorry about that. Same colors.
Yeah, it was the other Utah. That's why. The Utah is red and Utah State's blue.
That's right.
But he has looked like a whole totally different quarterback since Utah State. And not only that, he looks like a totally different quarterback since the Niners last saw him week three against the Packers in the preseason in 2022. Because I was at that game and I was like, Jordan Love doesn't have it. I don't see it. I don't see the potential. I don't see the arc. I don't think he has to be the next successor. And in 1 year span, he's proven him wrong. He's elevated himself and progressed enough to be not only, he always had the talent. It was just about the decision-making for him and making the right plays. Now he does. And that's the big key is, can he keep evolving in his decision-making and his processing moving forward? Because he has all the talent in the world.
Well, that's the first thing I would say. And this might sound crazy, but I would feel more comfortable, because who did it last season? Jalen Hurts. I'd feel more comfortable bagging out Jordan Love than Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
I don't know. You would have felt pretty confident about it at the time.
He had a really high approval rating.
It's both 1 year, basically 1 year situation.
Okay, let me do this.
I know he went to the playoffs. Jalen Hurts did the year before and got blasted by the
Now, how about this one? Do you feel more confident giving Jordan Love the bag over Daniel Jones compared to last year?
Yes.
But Daniel Jones balled out the same way you're talking about.
Yes. No, I don't know what Daniel Jones beat the most what is it that you do here?
15 and 5.
They won a playoff game.
Against the Vikings.
Yeah.
They still won a playoff game.
No, but I'm just telling you.
No, I know. It's a better comparison for those two than it is for Jalen Hurts because he had more.
But I've always been a little bit lower on Jalen Hurts than others, to be fair.
Okay. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think the rain affects Brock Purdy's golf game?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Well, if he played at Timber Creek.
There you go.
I don't think it would because Timber Creek has they have an expanded new putting green, and it's fantastic. And you can visit timbercreekgc.com to book your tee times today.
There you go. And Emil even rocking the Timber Creek hat. All right. Getting to a break. Hang on. Maybe Emil will still be here. Maybe he won't. We'll find out when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Sackdown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stephen A. Smith said that the Niners will not beat the Lions if D. Deebo Samuel doesn't play.
That's fair.
I think Deebo's going to play. I just don't see you allowing Deebo to not play.
As long as his shoulder is not...
It's not Deebo weather. It's not supposed to rain.
It's right. Deebo...
As long as Debo's shoulder is not fractured, he's playing this game. Let's be honest here.
What even is Deebo weather anymore?
Deebo weather...
Playoff football. That's Deebo
is,
weather.
Is Deebo weather.
I guess.
You either
playoff football.
Get
either
it
know.
Or you don't.
Deebo weather.
One of the more bizarre audio pieces that Nate has
I don't
created.
Even remember, like, what.
But yeah, what was the premise
of
that?
We were talking about, you were getting hyped on Deebo, and you're like, it's Deebo weather, baby, it's Deebo weather. And now anything weather related.
And I'm pretty sure they lost whatever game that was, because this is the first time that they've won in bad weather. The Deebo
weather. Welcome to Deebo weather.
Deebo weather. This just reminds me of my GarageBand days.
It's so stupid.
Just trying out.
Like,
different
you know those like oh really God. Cheap like microphones yeah. that you could yeah. buy or like the megaphones yeah. that would like yeah. distort yeah. your voice.
Deebo yeah. weather.
Early 90s as we are joined for another bonus segment of Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports 49ers Insiders. Emil, when you think about the Lions, and we were talking about the line being seven and a half. At first, you're watching, you're saying, all right, if the Bucs are able to pull this off, which they almost, they had a shot and yeah. things just didn't break their way, some questionable decisions by Todd Bowles. But I think we all felt, okay, Mike Evans is cool, but Baker Mayfield, they said with essentially the same offensive line taking way more sacks than Tom Brady, he's just not very elusive. And no. separate conversation, how Baker finessed himself into a top pick in the draft, one of the best finesses of all time.
He's going to get paid.
He's
going to get paid this offseason.
He probably is going to get paid. But, you know, he's a guy who takes a lot of sacks. You look at the Lions now coming in with that running game, and we've talked about, hey, that Niners running defense, they've broke before, right? Look at some of the runs from the Packers and even the Cardinals game a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
They put up over 200 yards. Do you think the Niners should be on upset alert for the Lions?
Like the Lions upset the Niners, what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I think anything's possible in the NFL. It's the playoffs.
But do you feel more confident about the Niners after this game because maybe this was their stinker?
Yeah, I do.
And now they'll figure it out?
The Lions' secondary and defense is not good. Like, 319 passing yards for Tampa Bay, and I get it, Mike Evans and stuff, but Baker Mayfield, not the strongest thrower. And actually, frankly, I was watching Baker Mayfield play, and I was like, Brock Purdy's got a little Baker Mayfield in him. I can kind of see the comparisons a little
somebody
bit.
Somebody said that compare. Somebody said something. Brock was Baker Mayfield, but with a better trait,
with
whatever that's
better
trait
decision making,
yeah,
better processing for sure. I kind of see that kind of display.
And he's faster. Brock
much,
is faster.
Yeah, Brock's 10-yard sprint, especially, and that was the biggest key to the win was that 9-yard scramble to get third and one for allowed Christian McCaffrey to get in there. But yes, Detroit could win this game, especially if they control the football, get the run game going with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Absolutely. I just don't see the Niners having a kerfuffle like they did Saturday. Mm-hmm. I feel like they got that monkey off their back of winning a gritty game. Now they're upset. Now they're mad at themselves. They didn't play to their standards. They got to come out and they got to win because they are one game away from going back to this elusive number six chase that they've been looking for many, many years. I feel like they're going to come out swinging and they're going to come out hot.
I'm trying to figure out, I mean, yeah, in the last segment, we talked about the Niners having no sacks. I don't hear a lot about a lot of criticism coming the D-line's way. I mean, I feel like the Niners, that's where they really spent a lot of their capital. I mean, they really invested a lot into that defensive line to get no sacks. I'm looking here. I mean, in Detroit, too, before Tampa Bay had two sacks on Sunday. Detroit's offensive line is maybe the best in the NFL. Does that battle concern you at all?
It does for sure, but they did lose Jonah Jackson.
Sure,
they're starting left guard, and Frank Ragnow, their all pro center, did get banged up as well. So we'll see how
he
is.
Right, I did see that. Right, he got rolled under. I think
it's the worst injury for linemen.
Like,
it was just I hate seeing those injuries for linemen because you just know it can happen to anyone to get rolled up like that.
It's
just so random. But thankfully, Frank Ragnow was able to come back and play because he is, if not top three, one of the best centers in the NFL right now. So, yes, it's going to be a war of the trenches, and that's kind of what this comes down to. But the Niners are a physical football team for a reason. And I think that Nick Bosa and Chase Young are going to do a better job getting after Jared Goff than they are going to get after Jordan Love because because Jared Goff is not very elusive.
Sure.
He kind of stands in the pocket, and when that happens and you kind of put pressure on him and crumble, he crumbles a little bit. He's not great when he's backed up against it like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess sometimes to your point too, I guess pressures also matter. I mean, it's not everything.
It matters more when you have a immobile quarterback
you're
going against. Yeah. Like with Jordan Love, he's able to scramble, get out of the pocket, make throws on the run. Jared's not really the best at that. He's more of a stationary guy, throw up from the angle, like Kirk Cousins does.
Right.
So if you can just get to him before he gets the ball out, you're golden.
Yeah, and I know people have said that, you know, you have Matthew Stafford who will throw from different angles, and even just little things like that. It's not necessarily being a dual threat.
Yeah.
But it's just things that can make up for when your offensive line gets beat, right?
Correct.
And it feels like Jared Goff can't really make up for too much. You know, the secondary, Ambry Thomas got destroyed on social media just as far as and also on the field a little bit. And the Packers really don't have a defined wide receiver number one. Everybody eats at different times, right? It's Dobbs, it's Reed.
Watson,
Watson, it's different guys. The Lions do have a number one. Now, he's one of the kind of more new age receivers, not a Megatron type guy, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a little bit smaller, he's a dog. But I am looking here as much, and the Lions really want to stay balanced. You got Amon-Ra, and then after that, this is another team weirdly similar to the Cowboys, even though they just run the football better, where you have Sam Laporta as really your number two receiver and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that I think bodes well then if you were to invite, obviously it's Baker Mayfield, but if you were to invite Baker Mayfield, Godwin, and Mike Evans to town, right? I mean, you have Amon-Ra, you got to feel like Steve Wilks would be able to bracket him, take care of him. And then you got Jameson Williams, who's good for maybe 2 to 3 catches a game.
They're deep ball guy. And they're
the deep ball guy. Josh Reynolds, who really only shows up in the red zone. So I'm not
Watch out for Jahmyr Gibbs, though.
But that's part of the running game, and I know he can catch too.
The catch,
they just do it in a different way, which I guess should be less worrisome. But to Chris's point, almost more worrisome.
I'm looking at
it's not as standard, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too. The Niners really haven't played like a receiving running back, like a guy who really gets the ball out of the backfield in the same way that Gibbs does too.
Yeah, no, Jahmyr Gibbs is a star.
Yeah,
that guy. Like we all gave Detroit flack for taking him 12th overall because it was a little high for a running back, especially in today's market. But it's worked out wonderfully for them. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs has unlocked something for Jared Goff and for that offense that they just didn't have. Because while David Montgomery was great, DeAndre Swift was a talented player, they weren't consistent enough. Both of them were consistent enough. And Jahmyr Gibbs as a rookie has been so, so consistent, both in the passing and the run game. And that's what makes him so different because they kind of have a Christian McCaffrey-esque player for Dan Campbell. And that's going to be tough for them. But I do think because of the Niners' speed at the linebacker spots, that's going to help them containing Gibbs because they're so good sideline to sideline.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. I think a lot of Niner fans were rooting for the Bucs to figure out a way.
Oh, they were. Yes, they were.
Even though I think we all knew it wasn't going to happen. You know, Emil, while we have you, before we let you go on your way, other side of things, right, with the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Texans, again, it makes you feel better what the Niners did. And this is what you had kind of alluded to because it feels like, okay, you got the stinker out of the way. But does it make you feel better for a team that's going to have to go up against the Chiefs, who may be the worst offense but probably the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has had, or the Ravens, who at least you already got to see them? Did what happen?
Sure saw him.
You saw him, all right. They saw you.
You saw him go the other way.
You saw him and they kicked your ass. That's
right,
what happened.
Right. Yeah. Even though you probably feel better about the game this weekend, does the performance make you feel better about going up against one of those teams who, let's be honest, they're on a different the Chiefs, I know, statistically aren't, but that bad man in Patrick Mahomes, you just can't count him out. How does it make you feel about their chances? And I hate to do it. I hate to jump forward here, but if they were to beat the Lions, did what you saw, or I guess it depends on what you see against the Lions, but did you feel better about, because we've been saying it's Super Bowl or bust. Did you feel better or worse about that statement after this game?
It is Super Bowl or bust, first of all. Second of all, the Niners are hoping to, first of all, beat the Lions, but they're hoping the Chiefs beat the Ravens.
You think so?
They don't want to see the Ravens.
Yeah.
They don't want to see the Ravens. They're the best team in football. They are the best team in football.
It's a tough one,
Lamar Jackson,
man.
Is the MVP right now. He's at the peak of his powers. They do not want to see a running quarterback like that. They struggle against those guys. They struggled against him when they saw him on Christmas night. And I'm not going to say it, the way that game went was a fluke, but I'm saying there's a reason why the Ravens have been so dominant in all of their wins, because they have a brand of football that just wears you down and beats you up, like the Niners do too, where their run game is just super. And now that Lamar has that passing game over the middle and over the top with Zay Flowers, they're just, they've unlocked everything.
From a motivational standpoint too, it's probably easier to say, hey, we got unfinished business against the Chiefs versus... I mean, they have unfinished business against the Ravens. It's just a little bit tougher to convince yourself that that result would have gone different.
The Ravens are kind of the Niners' boogeyman. Yeah. Harbaugh is kind of the Niners' boogeyman, both the brother as well as John is the kind of the boogeyman. They'd rather see the Chiefs because that's their unfinished story. That's the story they want to kind of finish.
Right.
And that's a team they probably match up better with because of the receivers like we've talked about.
Right.
Yeah, even though Rashee Rice has kind of shown up.
Got banged up as well.
Yeah, yeah, got
Kelce
banged
looks
up.
Back to an extent.
Travis Kelce, well, he's to the point now where... I'm willing to think that maybe Travis Kelce he's to that point in his career, kind of the Gronk stage, to where now he'll probably try to turn it on. Right.
He goes in the garage for 16 weeks and then you bring him out. And come play
exactly. He couldn't play like this for the whole season.
I've heard reports this might be his last ride.
Then one Kelce came back and took his shirt off, and now he's back in the NFL.
My favorite thing about this weekend was that moment.
Yeah.
That was just excellent.
What do you think about Josh Allen, too? I mean, there's a lot of legacy talk about Josh Allen, him being the James Harden to, you know, Patrick Mahomes' Steph Curry or whatever you want to throw out there. Do you feel like he's able to eventually get over the hump?
I do. I don't think it was Josh Allen's fault they lost that game. I think it was, how about Tyler Bass not go wide right?
Sure.
Again, just like, again, the Bills are cursed, unfortunately. Yeah. They're a cursed fan. Franchise like the Chargers are, and the Chiefs are their boogeyman right now. You know, no matter what Josh Allen does, it seems like Patrick Mahomes always gets the best of them. And while there was a lot of talk of can Mahomes win on the road in the playoffs, I had no doubts that the Chiefs are going to win that game.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where if it wasn't going to happen this season for the Bills to finally beat, this is the most down you would assume the Chiefs are going to be.
Yeah,
and the Bills kind of fumbled this season in a way.
Right, they should
to that point,
and they still got the 2 seed.
The Bills messed around all year
because Miami fumbled at the end.
Yeah, you're right, and you have somebody in Patrick Mahomes that has never not played in the AFC Championship as a starter. That's insane.
Insane.
Yeah, that's LeBron stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's LeBron going to 9 straight conference finals. That's,
right.
That's insane. You're
it's
not
new wave
to
goat
that.
Right there.
Yeah. I haven't
the
seen
Niners
the line.
Four or five, right?
Four or five, 3 straight. Crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Ravens are favored, but it's probably not by much because you cannot disrespect Patrick Mahomes. Thank you, Emil Fragoso, doing great things as always. Check him out on social media and on SacktownSports.com. We will talk to you. We'll talk to you next week either way, but I'm assuming it'll be to discuss the Super Bowl.
Yes, it will be.
There you go.
Hopefully.
All right. Get into a break. When we get back, a little bit of Kings talk, getting ready to take on the Hawks with no Trae Young. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Thank you again to Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports 49ers Insider. A 23-year-old Sacramento woman was arrested this past weekend for stealing 65 Stanley Cups from Target, valued at $2,500. Chris, what is happening?
I have no idea. I know Stanley Cups are like the not the poster child, but like it is part of the basic starter pack, pretty much. Like if you're a basic person, apparently it's like you own a Stanley Cup. That's my only understanding of Stanley Cups.
It's they're hot in the streets, but I'm very confused as to what. What is it? Is it for? Is it because it holds your drinks? I'm confused.
We need an expert on here. I don't know. Something tells me Simone could probably provide
a lot more background
into this. But
I
feel like I don't know because I can't understand what makes them special. Everybody is like specifically, I have to have a Stanley Cup. You can't have like the whatever.
The
I have like 30 different you know, reusable water bottles, none of which are Stanley. I've never understood why it has to be.
Yeah, I don't know. The picture here has all of the cups on top of the cop car. Funny enough,
it literally looks like when they like raid a gang or something, and they take all their weapons and put it on a table. It's that, but with Stanley Cups.
Very bizarre. I mean, the only thing I could think of is back in the day when everybody had scooters, and if you didn't have a Razor scooter, can't go to school with that.
Yeah, this is like the new like power band or whatever. The Live Strong bracelet. Yeah, or the power balance.
So
bracelet,
hey, 916-339-1140.
Is this going to go in the section of the store that's behind glass now? Is this going to have to be how we get?
That's
cups
what we get. You
got to
get our baby stuff behind there. Yeah,
stuff like that.
If you have information on the Stanley Cup craze that is going on right now, give us a call because I don't know what's happening. We do not know what's happening, but you know, let's see.
I hope
here.
It was worth it. Like, I mean, I assume it would be.
Yeah, and this is from the city of Roseville, California Police Department. On the afternoon of January 17th, Roseville police officers responded to a retail store on the 6,000 block of Stanford Ranch Road for a theft that just occurred. Staff saw a woman take a shopping cart full of Stanley water bottles without paying for them. The suspect refused to stop for staff and stuffed her car with the stolen merchandise. Jeez. An officer spotted the suspect vehicle.
See this lady throwing cups into her trunk
as it entered Highway 65 from Galleria Boulevard and initiated a traffic stop. A 23-year-old Sacramento woman was arrested for grand theft.
I didn't catch that.
A subsequent search of her vehicle resulted in the recovery of 65 Stanley products valued at nearly $2,500. Sheesh. While Stanley quenchers are all the rage,
they sure are.
We strongly advise against turning to crime to fulfill your hydration habits. The Roseville Police Department remains committed to stopping retail theft. Hashtag no thank you. Hashtag crimes doesn't pay. Hashtag not in Roseville.
Okay.
Hashtag great work, officers.
Was it Target?
It was Target.
It was Target.
That is the worst place to steal from, too.
Why is that?
Well, I guess
give us your insight. Give us your insight.
Hold on. You're telling us something.
Implicate yourself, Nate. Why is Target the worst place to steal from?
I know that they keep track.
You've heard.
No, I know. They keep track of. They try to at least keep track of who's stealing, and they try to wait until you've hit that mark of it being a felony, so they get you big time.
Well, she's going down.
Yeah. She's going down easy.
Going
down. Yeah,
she's definitely going down. You're 23. Yeah. Were you trying to? Because that's the thing. Clearly, they weren't sold out, so you don't have to sell them. No. You're not selling them at a higher rate or trying to flip them. Or maybe, they're all sold out, so now I'm going to resell them in the streets of Roseville?
Just in the parking lot, you know? Hey, you go in there, you see they're out of Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
Hey, got a couple in my trunk.
Maybe Facebook Marketplace. But
I can see that.
Dude, buying a secondhand cup, that's disgusting.
Also? No, and not used. It has to be not used.
I know, but still, like, you don't know if it's used or not. You're buying from this person on Marketplace.
Yeah.
That's
65
gross.
Cups is also psychotic. Like, she's just putting that into her cart.
She's got to be jacked.
Nobody said anything. Seeing her just, like, literally shovel all of
this. Just pay.
Like,
come
for
on
a
now.
Work party or
you
something?
Can still flip it even if you paid.
That's
all right.
Terrible.
Let's get back on track here. Again, we'll take your call if you got something on the Stanley's for us. I think we have somebody coming in. We have Lucy here who wants to help us figure out this Stanley Cup craze. Lucy, please tell me any Stanley Cup you have purchased with American dollars.
My daughter is a thermos aficionado.
Okay.
I just happened to hear this the other day. Evidently, a Kia car burned to the ground, and the only thing left standing was the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And that went viral, you know, TikTok, and that's how they became so popular. And then Stanley Cup manufacturers picked up on this, and they started promoting their thermos as, you know, it didn't burn up in a car. And then they started promoting, you know, different kind of like Valentine's Day cups and different, you know, colors. And so that's kind of the origin of why Stanley thermoses are all of a sudden like, you know, gold.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Wow. That is outstanding.
You cannot pay for that kind of insight.
But I'm still just kind of interested in why people think, in case I'm in a burning car, at least my Stanley will be chill.
You don't understand how the internet works then.
But thank you for that, Lucy. Yeah.
I guess Stanley Cup drinkers are bad drivers.
Yeah, right? If I happen to be in another burning car.
Yeah, don't put anything illegal in that drink while you're driving.
Definitely do not do that.
I mean, it's very, that's like the most internet story I think I've ever heard in my life.
But this is crazy to me simply because it wasn't,
Stanley Cup.
She must have been trying to flip them in the streets then. Why are you buying $2,500?
She wasn't
buying.
She was not buying.
I mean, come on, you still could have made a profit. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever heard of like, just like looking at the wholesale retail sites and
right.
just buying like the $3 cups and then
I just wanted, we got to get that CCTV footage of her just mobbing
out.
Yeah,
she had to be mobbing too.
And can you imagine the cop calling this in? Yeah, I got her. Yep, I see. Uh-huh. Yep. 56 cups. We got her. Hey, put it down. Put the cup down, man.
Put it down.
Ma'am, nobody's got to get hurt if you put the cups down, all right? Yeah, that's crazy. All right, getting back on track here.
It's tough to have on your police report.
Let's get to Paul. Just all in a day's work, right? Let's get to Paul, who wants to be a part of the conversation, getting us back on track with the Niners. What's up, Paul? What you got for us?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Outstanding. How you doing?
You guys are awesome because I work at Walmart in Lodi, and I see stuff all day long. I've been in the company over 27 years, and it's brutal.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's brutal. I work at the door. I'm a door host, and I see people coming out all the time, but I can't do nothing about it. I got to wait till the AP comes, security comes, because nothing I can do.
What about the Stanley Cups? Are they in Walmart?
Oh, God. I see Stanley Cups. I saw a Green Bay girl the other day on Saturday, and she's all like, I'm going to have to give you some Kleenex after the game. I'm all like, no, I think I'll give you 1140 Kleenex. I have a couple in my back pocket. Anyway, I like the game on Saturday. What do you guys think about Sunday? You guys think Samuel's going to play? I was just asking about that.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, Paul. As of right now, I think
Thank you for your service also,
yes,
Paul.
And thank you for your service.
At the door of Walmart.
I'm pretty sure the last thing I read, and we have this from Ian Rappaport, was that it was 50-50 right now. Yeah, so basically it's 50-50.
They're saying no fracture, though.
No fracture, and this is from Good Morning Football. There continues to be guarded optimism for 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel with negative x-rays.
8 days of rest.
There's no way he's not playing. There's just no way.
He's at least going to suit up and try, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way. They might not prominently feature him, maybe how they should, but I mean, there's no doubt Debo's going to be out there because he's, even if he's just out there running routes or being a decoy, he's the best decoy you can maybe have in football. So.
Debo weather.
There it is.
I don't know what time it is.
And it's going to be if Debo is able to suit up. All right, get into a break. When we get back, previewing Kings, Hawks, more of your calls, more of your texts. And shout out to the Sack Chat. Haven't shouted you out yet, but here it is. All right, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.